Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, we've got a great lineup of guests joining us this morning here live from the Clubhouse Lounge, an indoor golf simulator in Kalispell this morning ahead of the Montana Chamber of Commerce's Governor's Cup, which kicks off with the reception tonight. We got a great lineup of guests, but I don't know, we might have to cancel every one of these other guests this morning because my first guest here. You know, we ended the show yesterday with a great phone call from a great Cuban-American freedom fighter, Mario Englendive. And today we have the honor of catching up with a great Cuban-American as well. So if we ended the show with a Cuban-American yesterday, let's start the show with a great Cuban-American today. He's retired now, but he was the basketball coach and the baseball coach in Whitefish. But he graduated high school with my dad. He says, oh, have I got stories. we're going to need a whole week worth of interviews to cover all these crazy stories, I'll bet. Anyway, Julio Delgado, great to see you.
Well, thanks, Aaron. And I consider myself an American Cuban.
Dad, but better said, there you go. I like it. I like that. Yeah. Now, what do you want to tell people? You got the microphone here.
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough to come to this country when I was 8 years old. My parents made the ultimate sacrifice to send my sister and I, and we had to separate our family. They sent us to the United States through the Pedro Pan program, which is a whole story in itself. But we landed, of all places, in Helena, Montana, in an orphanage. So I went from the equator to the North Pole. I couldn't speak English, and I was fortunate enough to have Winnie and Leroy Brown from Whitefish come and picked us up, my sister and I, and I came to Whitefish, and that was back 1961, 62. I love this country, and what's happening to this country right now is really troublesome to me because I see the same signs of the communism and socialism that took everything away from my family in Cuba. To get back to, you know, how I got here, it's the Pedro Pan program was devised by a Catholic priest in Miami and a schoolmaster in Havana. And what they did was over a two-year period, they got like General Electric, Coca-Cola, and some of the major American companies to foot the bill for airfare. And they got over 16,000 Cuban kids to come to the United States under the pretense of going to school. We got school visas to come.
And, so remarkable.
Yeah.
And look at, you know, what you did to give back to the community that brought you in, your years coaching and helping kids and everything. Well, Coach Delgado, we want to definitely hear a lot more from you. Stand by. We're live from the Clubhouse Lounge, an indoor golf simulator. We've got Todd O'Hare, the president and CEO of the Montana Chamber, here with us as well. So lots to come back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here we go, man. I tell you what, I almost missed coming back out for the show here because we've been chatting more with Coach Julio Delgado, a retired school teacher and coach in Whitefish, and we're going to talk more with him in just a few minutes. Todd O'Hare, president and CEO of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. We're here for the big Governor's Cup golf tournament and reception tonight. What a story. American greatness here. It's so great to hear. Good news stories like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that was a sobering way to start this, right? And so here I am talking about a golf tournament and the fun we're going to have, and we get this kicked off with, like, this ultimate sacrifice that a parent gives. And I'm still kind of shook by that, you know, as a parent myself and recognizing what that is. But I think what it speaks to is the greatness that this country has historically been, the opportunity that it provides. And that's part of the reason why we're up here with the Governor's Cup golf tournament as well. It's like we're seeing a real economic engine starting to roar to life here in Montana. It's creating some pain along the way, as we're seeing with housing prices and some of those sort of things. But things are really starting to roar here in Montana. And it's because we've got economic freedom, we've got opportunity to be able to pursue our own passions through entrepreneurship. We've got lower taxes in this state. There's just a lot of real excitement, I think, that is starting to develop in the state. We're going to have to work through some of these growing pains that we see with housing and some of the workforce shortages, but they are growing pains. And so for the Governor's Cup golf tournament that the Montana Chamber hosts up here, it's a celebration of Montana. We're bringing together businesses from all over the country, a lot of brand name recognizable companies that you would see here in Montana, you know, the Northwestern Energies and the major banks in the state of Montana. We're also bringing in companies from outside of the state, you know, that have interest in Montana or operating in Montana. And it's probably the largest business recruitment networking event of the year. Tonight at our reception, we're going to have north of 700 people at our reception here on Flathead Valley Community College campus. And then tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we kick off on three different golf courses, 84 golf teams with five people per golf team, again, representing this huge diversity of businesses from around the state. You know, everything from traditional natural resource companies are here to high-tech companies, manufacturing companies, retail companies are here, all joining together, right, to celebrate Montana and to make connections with each other, develop relationships, grow relationships. And then we're honored to have the governor of the state of Montana that's going to join us both tonight and tomorrow.
And he's not even a big golfer, but he just likes to come out and see everybody. You've got lawmakers from both parties that are typically here, the business crowd. My favorite image from the golf course, I was out at Meadow Lake last year hanging out on the hole-in-one course, the hole-in-one hole. And I remember looking at the green, and there's Brandon Lear out of Savage with his cowboy hat on, his Western plaid shirt on, his jeans and his boots. So it was just such a great image with the mountains in the background in the Flathead Valley. But that reminds me also of some big Eastern Montana news. It's not just fun and games, this golf tournament. There's business that is being made here. 1 year ago at your very reception, that's where I met Andy Mansour, the CEO of Brixtal Defense. And he was telling me, hey, we're going to have some news and keep it under wraps for now. And then, boom, big news for Glendive, Montana. They were setting up an ammo manufacturing facility there. I mean,
I think that's the important part is that some of the stuff that gets done here through this Governor's Cup golf tournament is beneficial for the state as a whole. There's another individual that was here last year for the Governor's Cup golf tournament that met Andy, was interested in what Andy was doing in Glendive. And so now they've met, they're talking about building some affordable housing in Glendive, Montana, right? And so those are connections. And I asked him here a couple weeks ago when I saw him at an event, I said, how did you meet Andy? He's like, I met him up there at your Governor's Cup golf tournament. And he said, I didn't really know what he was going. I got to meet him. I got to know him. We're comparing notes. And I'm looking at Glendive for some potential affordable housing sort of thing, because he's in the development world. And so you're getting this great cross-section of business leaders who are also entrepreneurs, and they're looking to expand. They see the opportunity in Montana. They see the direction the state is going. And it's like, you know, where can we have a presence in this state that that will help from an economic standpoint? And a lot of talk is, of course, in the Flathead and the Missoulas and the Bozemans, but it's also happening in the eastern part.
That's right. And putting a focus and an emphasis on rural Montana, which is, you know, so important. Right. I mean, your family's just got such great connections to the agricultural sector and more. And then I'm running into Andy Mansour and his team down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and more business being done there. In fact, I was pulling up Sheriff Jesse Slaughter's number on my cell phone, and I saw all these other Slaughters in there, like the legendary Ike Slaughter from the Bitterroot. And then I saw Jimmy Slaughter in there. He's that. He sounds like a NASCAR race driver, but he's the guy, I think, who was setting up shop in Glendive back in February when I was there for the Gate Show. Well, Todd, thanks for letting us be a part of it. I'll be posted at the Meadow Lake Golf Course once again tomorrow. I'm going to be doing recorded interviews so folks can come by and join me because everybody's busy. They're golfing. Yep. So I'm going to do some recorded interviews. We'll have David Noble back in studio, and then I'll share some of the highlights next week. But thanks for letting us be a part of it. Thanks for coming down and joining us, because I know you got a busy day here.
Thank you for being here, Aaron. Really great to have you here.
Yeah, great to be here. We've got some folks from Flathead Electric Cooperative, and then they've got somebody at the regional level who's here in Montana. So we'll chat with them later in the hour. More to follow with Coach Delgado, our great American Cuban friend who is here. I might have to get the stories about my dad off the air. They may not be fit for the public public airwaves. He's shaking his head. What? Yeah. No bad stories, right? No bad stories. We found Flint Avenue. We've got a road named after our family. It may be the smallest road in Whitefish, but we've got a road.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got so many great guests joining us here this hour of this show. This will be a very fast-moving hour, packing a lot in here. In just a second, we're going to catch up with our friend Jeremy Mayhew from the Flathead Valley, served as a Navy SEAL. He's got an incredible background, and he's been, you know, really right in the middle of the fight to combat human trafficking. And to protect kids in particular, he's got a fascinating new business that he's going to tell us about here in just a second, something that can help you protect your kids. So wait till you hear about this one. I want to come back to Coach Julio Delgado here, the great American Cuban with us here a few times throughout the hour, if I can. Coach, again, so good to see you. Man, what a powerful opening to the show this morning. But I'm sure you saw this last night. I listened to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech before Congress yesterday. Wow.
Wow, it was great.
Wow. I mean, and when he praised those North Carolina college kids for standing up for the American flag, I tell you what, I started tearing up as I was driving towards Glacier National Park yesterday, listening to that. But then you contrast that with these anti-American, hateful leftists that were, you know, raising the Palestinian flag, graffiti on the Liberty Bell and these other statues right near our U.S. Capitol. I'm sure you saw that last night.
I saw it, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it makes my blood boil. There's no doubt about it that... That's how things started in Cuba. They started, you know, erasing history and taking down the statues and defacing statues. They took Fidel immediately took everybody's guns away, and they controlled the media. And that's exactly how they took over and turned to socialism, communism, which were the majority of the Cuban people wanted to see Castro succeed. Because Ernesto Batista was such a dictator, and there were so many poor people in Cuba that when Fidel promised a better life, of course he was going to be followed, and immediately he promised free and fair elections, and that turned out to be a fallacy, and they turned to communism. He and Che Guevara, and the rest is history.
You mean to tell me that the people who preach democracy are actually some of the people that are trying to destroy our republic or trying to destroy democracy?
Well, it's amazing. You know, you watch our people. We have people in Congress that are outright Marxists. I mean, who would have thought that? You know, I used to be a Kennedy Democrat. And, you know, that party is way gone.
And for good reason, for good. Kennedy Democrat. You know, over my years in the military, a few years ago, I had an assignment down in the Miami area, and so many great American Cubans. And you can, and if you ever go to Calle Ocho in Little Havana, you'll see, you know, you can do the tour and see that the statues in honor of those freedom fighters and so many incredible American Cubans that serve in our U.S. military as well, because of such a passionate support for America and our economic freedoms in particular.
Absolutely. You know, that's what makes this country so great. You know, I always told my kids, anything is possible in this country if you want to work for it. And the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of somebody else's money. And, you know, they promised a better life in Cuba, but that's what happened is increased the bread lines and people were without food and it was a sad, sad story what happened to our island. But, you know, I consider myself an American. I came when I was 8 years old, and what's happening in this country scares me to death.
We were talking about what took place with these so-called peaceful protesters last night that were violently riding with law enforcement. They had to call in extra law enforcement. Listen to what Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, also from Whitefish, had to share last night. He went on X showing Montanans firsthand the destruction and the vandalism that they caused.
Hey, Montana, I just want to show you what's going on in the Capitol. Hamas is coming to the Capitol. And I want to show you here. This is what we face. Abolish the USA. Today, they took down our flag. We put it back up. God bless America.
All right. Great job. I saw there were other military veterans in Congress that were there with them. They tore down our flag. We put it back up.
Absolutely.
That matters.
It matters. Well, it's funny you mentioned Ryan. I coached him.
Did you?
At Whitefish High School. Yeah. And he was a terrific football player. I mean, the guy went on and played D1 football.
Yeah.
He was a beast. They won a state title, the first state title in Whitefish. I also coached him in basketball, and he was a center, couldn't catch the ball, hit him in the forehead. It was horrible. but he was a terrific football player and a great guy.
Yeah,
I support Ryan. He's an awesome man.
So cool. His house, you know, that his family grew, you know, that several generations of his family. This morning, when we were driving to Kalispell, my dad riding shotgun with me. So we actually drove down Flint Avenue, right where his grandparents, my grandparents, great-grandparents lived, and my grandparents' grandfather lived. And then I think he lived in that house for a little while as well. But you guys were both class of 1970, Whitefish High School. And so it was so cool. It may be the shortest block in all of Whitefish, but at least we got a block. He was over there talking trash. He said, there's no Delgado Avenue in Whitefish.
I actually got to correct you. I graduated in 1971, but I went to school and played sports with your dad and so on. What happened to me is when I came, I couldn't speak the language, so I was in the fourth grade, okay? And what happened was is that they took me all the way down to the first grade, okay? So, I mean, that crushed me.
You were like Billy Madison.
Yeah, I was in the first grade. By the end of the year, I finally worked my way back up to the third grade, okay? But the difference with me was is that I wanted to assimilate immediately. You know, coming to this country, I wanted to be part of the American dream, and I wanted to speak the language without accent, and I wanted to be part of this country.
That's what every other legal immigrant has done, and classes of legal immigrants have done. But yeah, I just thought you looked a lot younger than him because, you know, whatever, you're in better shape or something like that. All right, well, hey, I'm looking at the clock here. Coach, stand by. I want to catch up with you some more here. We've got, we got Jeremy Mayhew here. Jeremy, thanks for taking some time to come down and see us. Good to see you again.
Yeah, same for you.
You know, I mentioned Navy SEAL veteran, grew up here in the Flathead, back home here in the Flathead. Several years after his military service, has been combating human trafficking. Tell us about this new business. You showed me a video highlighting this software.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you know, almost 8 years of my life really focused on combating human trafficking, training law enforcement, and that whole side of it. And there's so many challenges around that. I mean, there's lack of resources, lack of, you know, within law enforcement, within the prosecutors, getting a successful prosecution of a human trafficker. all of that's necessary stuff, but there's never really been like a tool to get upstream and get ahead of these kids becoming victims anyways. So a lot of where that happens is online and looking at like social media, gaming and social media, where kids have no idea who they're actually talking to on the other side. It connects to the internet, and parents have no idea who their kids are talking to. So,
what type of message is being pushed to their kids at the same time, too.
Right, and so today, I mean, just yesterday, it came out that Instagram took down like 66,000 accounts back in May that were all related to sextortion and related to, in Nigeria, this group called the Yahoo Boys. And I mean, so the Yahoo Boys, essentially what they do, and it's a big deal for young boys online on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or wherever, they're sending these boys messages to think that that's a nice, attractive girl, right? And they have no idea who that person on the other line is. And eventually they send a video or a picture that's illicit content. And then almost immediately what happens is they ask for money. You know, so it's a financial extortion crime. But now there's a illicit photo, a naked photo or video of that boy, or that usually a boy that's targeted for that. And then there's the amount of suicides that are going up around that are drastically increasing. And even the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, I think 86% of the reports that they're getting are around sextortion right now. And so, you know, you've probably seen it in the news where there was actually a boy who was like the quarterback of the football team. I believe he was about 16. His name was Walker Montgomery. I talked to his dad, Brian Montgomery, who's been in the news a lot. He's a big advocate for changing things around this. I mean, this all happened within one night where somebody contacted him, started this conversation, went back and forth. Eventually, he sent a picture. And then as soon as he did, they asked for money. He didn't know what to do. He freaked out. And by the morning time, he committed suicide.
Wow.
And so to have an app that a parent can have visibility into seeing when those conversations are happening, whatever the threats are, if somebody's asking for your child's personal information, you know, for whatever reason, you get an alert, you get a notification, you can take action. If it's something around, you know, sextortion, if it's around bullying, I mean, mental health, there's so many different threats our kids face, and we have no idea what they are.
There's some apps that do a little bit of this or a little bit of that, where you can track your kid's movement and you can see if they're getting bullied. But but some of those apps still fall short. So you want to make it more comprehensive, leverage more AI into this software that parents can really get a full spectrum picture of the threats that their kids could potentially be facing online.
Yeah, more than just monitoring. I'm not really interested in just monitoring what the kids are doing, but actually being able to identify real threats in real time and give a parent a notification, and then a resource center for the parent to take action on the next step of what to do and how to engage their child properly.
Very interesting. And the company is called Spider Watch. Stand by. Quick break. More with Jeremy Mayhew right after this. And then we got John Sinrud in the house as well. So stand by. And then we've also got the Flathead Electric Cooperative folks here as well.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association has confirmed that the effort to prevent ultra-processed lab-grown protein in the diet of the American Armed Forces was successful. The announcement came following news that the Department of Defense is not pursuing lab-grown protein products for human consumption. Quote, NCBA was the first and only group to fight back against lab-grown protein getting served to our armed forces, says NCBA President Mark Isley. After weeks of speaking out against the plan, we are thrilled to have the DOD confirmation that lab-grown protein is not on the menu for our nation's service members, end quote. He also says the men and women who make the greatest sacrifices in service to our country deserve high-quality, nutritious, and wholesome food like real beef grown by American farmers and ranchers. NCBA added they are committed to making sure that lab-grown protein is labeled correctly to not take away market share from hardworking cattle producers. In other news, USDA announced additional steps to safeguard Western communities in the face of increasingly dangerous and intense wildfires. The agency is building advanced wildfire detection capabilities using satellite technology. In agreement with the Forest Service and the Department of Interior, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will allow the agencies to use satellites that will use remote sensing capabilities to improve the speed and accuracy of wildfire detection and early prevention. Umley Northland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Very busy lineup here, but Jeremy Mayhew, yeah, we'll have to get you back on the show again for a longer extended amount of time when I'm back in studio. But I guess my final question to you would be kind of, okay, what can we do to help you as you develop this software, this app? What stage of development are you in so that, you know, parents out there could get this in their hands to, you know, help protect their kids?
Yeah, we're still raising capital to get it completely over the line. And then we actually, you know, people can go to our website, which is, as you mentioned, spiderwatch.com, spider spelled with a Y, S-P-Y. And they can sign up on there. We've got a couple things coming up in the next probably 30, 40 days where people can get engaged. So they can sign up, get on our list, and get updates. And we're hoping that, you know, it might be 4 months. Hopefully by the end of the year, for sure, we'll have this app out. And it's literally something that costs, on a discounted rate, it's about $8 a month, right? And
which is a good deal compared to other software that I've seen out there that still doesn't
apply. It's priced very, very well. And, I mean, think about it. Like, it costs $8 to get a cappuccino today or whatever. You know what I mean? But for your whole month, you're keeping your kid and your family safe. And you're getting that visibility to any of those threats that they encounter online, specifically around social media. We were just talking here about, you know, Snapchat, you know, disappearing messages. Like, we're able to, like, look and have parents actually see what those messages were. And so whatever the threat is to your child, whether it's, you know, sextortion we mentioned, bullying, mental health, self-harm, somebody trying to get your child's personal information for whatever reason, as soon as that happens, a parent gets an alert. This is something where we just wanted to really focus on getting real-time alerts to parents and giving them the ability to take action and engage their child in a positive way so the child can grow in this digital world. I mean, you and I mean, I'm 47 now. When I went in the Navy, I was just getting my first cell phone. That was a flip phone. 10 years later, when I was getting out of the Navy, they were just coming out with the iPhone that finally was like a smart, you know, you had the BlackBerry, but then they were coming out with the iPhone that now you can send photos. Well, now kids are playing all these games and sending all these photos. They're communicating with people. They have no idea who they're communicating with. So we've got to help educate them. So the second half of this is really the educational component and the resource component for parents. And so putting those things together, you know, we're building that out right now, and it's going to be a real game changer. So as people want to get involved, we want to create a movement around this. We want to get it pushed out globally eventually. But it's just a simple, elegant app that's like, here's the alert, here's a notification, here's how you take action as a parent.
Yeah, no, this is incredible. Well, keep us posted, you know, throughout the process. Let us know whatever we can do to help. Hopefully we've got some of our, I know we've got some kind of cool high-tech investor entrepreneur types in the, you know, all across the state, frankly, in the Bozeman area in particular, that, you know, tune into the show from time to time. So hopefully they're listening right now.
If they want to save kids on a massive scale, they should go to our website. And there's actually a thing where they can click to, if somebody's interested in investing, they can click and it shoots an email to us and we'll be happy to follow up with them and chat.
Well, and what's so cool is this is, you know, this is, again, what you learned as a Navy SEAL and supporting other government agencies is how you can take these tools to protect kids and to go after these human traffickers and more. So it's just absolutely incredible. Thanks for continuing to do what you do, continuing to serve in that capacity.
Yeah, thanks for promoting it. And, yeah, we definitely look forward to, once it's out, we'll be all over the news and spend a lot of time with you promoting, and I appreciate it.
Hey, sounds good. All right, Jeremy Mayhew, great to see you as always. Thanks for coming down. Yeah, I mentioned we've got open microphones, but actually I think I had a phone call either yesterday or the day before from John Sinrud, a former Montana state lawmaker out of the Gallatin Valley, now up here in the Flathead Valley. And I said, John, you got to come down and see us at the Clubhouse Lounge, an indoor golf simulator. And by the way, real quick, for any of you listening right now locally on KJJR, if you can't make it down in the next few minutes, I'm going to be here starting at 11:30 a.m. till 1 p.m. We're doing an event paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We're going to help you fight inflation And we're going to have some free gift cards for you, so you can come down, get some lunch, get a beverage, work on your indoor golf game, get out of the heat, get out of the smoke for a little while. So come down and see us and say hi at lunch if you can. John Sinrod, great to see you, and thanks for coming down.
Well, thanks for having me, Aaron. I just wanted to quickly talk about incidental committees and the amount of money that's coming into Montana politics. And
is that better?
Okay. So what you're looking at is, if people were to type in Google or wherever, Montana Commissioner of Political Practices, it's going to take them to the Political Practices website, and you can see all the individuals that are contributing to either candidates or what they call, typically in the past, it was a political action committee or what they call an incidental committee, or other committees that are playing in politics in Montana, but where's the money coming from? And so I started looking at the incidental committees, and they are not required to report where their money is coming from, but they can spend their money. They just have to show the expenses of it. So you have no clue where the money's coming from.
So case in point, right now, people have seen these paid signature gatherers all over the state promoting these left-wing causes like the abortion on demand all the way up at, you know, CI 128. And then also this rank choice voting scheme, which a lot of people see that as rank. These efforts to put these things on the ballot have political committees that are organized to get these things on the ballot and then support them to get across the finish line. So they're getting massive amounts of money from out of state. They have to report what they're spending, but you have no idea who they're actually getting their money from.
That is correct. So the committee that right now is for the, we'll say, ranker's choice voting, what that is it's, let's see, Seifert is a treasurer for one organization that puts money into it, which is called Article 4. And he used to be a county commissioner, I believe, in Gallatin County. But you have no clue where their resources are coming from. And they have contributed almost $4 million to, if you look in the articles today about former Representative Frank Garner and former Senator Bruce Tudvet, and they're all excited about what Menahan did, the judge, saying you've got to take these non-registered voters or voters that haven't voted in years that the Secretary of State was trying to wipe off of the ability to actually sign on those petitions. So those two individuals are specifically involved in it, and they've received at least $4 million from this Article 4. Article 4 fund, you don't know who they are. I don't know whether it's a 501c4, 3-6, or a 990. They have contributed in the last 2 years over $4 million to Alaska to change their voting system into a ranked choice voting and jungle primary. They've also did the same thing in Massachusetts. And what that is doing is it is watering down a conservative vote. It is watering down the outcomes of elections and having individuals that are running that are they're running because they want to get something out of government, as in money, like a John Tester.
Yeah, no, that's great information and great insight. And one more reason not to trust either one of these initiative processes. That Seifert guy, the former Gallatin County Commissioner, I see him on Twitter. I mean, I don't know much about him. I think I said hi to him a couple weeks ago when I ran into him. But you see him on Twitter or X, one of the far left activists on Twitter right now. And I was like, wow, and you used to be a Gallatin County Commissioner. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's changing our whole politics. However, those bills, prior to certain, we'll say, left-leaning Republicans, it was all supposed to be disclosed. But over the years in the legislature, they have changed how the laws are so that those, quote, incidental committees do not have to disclose where the money comes from. And so what John Tester in 2006 had a whole big thing about the dark money in the big sky, or maybe it was in 2010, and that was based upon Western Tradition Partnerships, which I know a little bit about.
Yeah.
But the real bottom line is John Tester is dark money.
Oh, exactly.
The Democrats are dark money.
They preach against it, but then they are the biggest backers of it, the biggest recipients of it, et cetera. John Sinrod, great to see you as always. Thanks for sharing
that
very interesting information there. Well, next up, this is great. I was chatting with my friend Ron Catlett here in the Flathead. Great guy. And I'll tell you what, you ever want to talk policy, get a hold of Ron Catlett, man, one of the smartest guys I know. But I think he's now doing some work with our friends at Flathead Electric Cooperative. And so we've got Katie Fennigs here with Flathead Electric Cooperative. And then, as luck would have it, Clark Mather, the executive director for Northwest River Partners, is here in the Flathead. Clark, great to see you, and welcome to Montana.
Aaron, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
The moment I heard that you were here, my assumption is you are with us in this fight to where they're trying to shut down these hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, and our co-ops and everybody is just raising a bunch of concern about this, rightly so.
Yeah, we need everybody involved in this. Hydropower has been this essential energy resource here in western Montana and throughout the Northwest for really getting back to the late 19th century. We've had federal dams on the Columbia and Snake Rivers since starting in 1938. We've seen really good salmon returns coming back into the region. And here in Montana, hydropower provides affordable, clean energy here in this part of the state. And it's a really important energy resource, and we need to maintain it.
Yeah, that's right. It's not just about electricity. It's about agriculture, recreation, water, so much more. Stay right.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I just got a note from Greg in Big Fork. I'd love to come down and say hi to everybody, but I'm working. No, we get it. And we're so thankful to all of our great listeners out there. But hey, if you can break away for lunch, come see us at lunch. If not, we'll be back. We'll be back out on the town here very soon. Katie Fennigs with the Flathead Electric Cooperative. You know, so great to catch up with our electric co-op friends all across Montana. But what are the biggest things you think folks all across Montana need to know right now from your standpoint?
Well, I think it's really important for folks to be paying attention to some of the challenges that are facing our utilities, and not just electric co-ops, frankly, but all of our utilities. Northwestern Energy as well is facing a lot of challenges as we look at some of the forecasts for load growth that exist into the future. How are we going to meet those loads? What resources exist out there to build generation, to build transmission, to keep the lights on? That's just becoming it's becoming realistically more challenging as we look to the future here. We're anticipating 30% growth in loads in the next 10 years as of the latest forecasts. And at the same time, we are removing generating capacity of coal plants. We're limiting natural gas in some states. And as we're all an interconnected system in the Northwest, all of that also impacts Montana. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and of course, when you say we, it's really they. It's to use a whist card game terminology. We aren't trying to remove this stuff. They are back in Washington. And as luck would have it, Clark Mather is here with the Northwest River Partners because this is a big issue for really all of our cooperatives, but especially Flathead Electric Cooperative, hydropower dams here in the Northwest.
Yeah, the hydropower, the federal hydropower system provides over 80% of the electricity that we serve to our members, as well as other Western Montana co-ops. And Northwest River Partners is a really critical partner of Flathead Electric's on the advocacy side. And we're really fortunate to have Clark here with us today. And just by chance happened to be able to get him on your show, and so grateful to be here.
Was that a 30% increase in the next 10 years? Is that what you
30%
said?
Increase in
just
load,
for Flathead Electric?
Over the entire region,
the entire region is what
we're expecting.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And meanwhile, we've seen a 30% increase in electricity inflation in just the last 3 years alone across the country. My cooperative has not raised rates that high, thankfully, but we got to keep it that way. It's a little hard in this current environment. Clark Mather, what else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, I think the affordability piece of this is really important, Aaron. I mean, people in this part of the country, people throughout the region are struggling to pay their bills right now. We're seeing tens of millions of dollars added to electric customer bills across the region as we deal with more extreme weather events. The Bonneville Power Administration, just to keep the lights on when it was 35 degrees below zero here over Martin Luther King weekend, had to spend $300 million to bring in energy from the Southwest and lean on our hydropower system to keep the lights on. If we reduce our hydropower generation, your bills are going to go up, you're more likely to have blackouts, and we're not going to be able to rely on the system that's helped us create jobs and keep bills affordable here in Flathead and throughout the Pacific Northwest. There's millions of people that depend on it. So we're working with Flathead and the rest of our 90-plus members to engage in that conversation and hopefully get people organized to talk to elected officials about that.
Well, and frankly, Missoula, Montana, you got a taste of it last night. Massive winds came through, 110, yeah. I think, recorded on Mount Sentinel. Trees down, power outages, widespread power outages. That just gives you a taste of what could happen if these types of other policies get implemented. Clark and Katie, thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you, and reach out anytime we can get you on the radio to talk more.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we started the show this morning with a great American Cuban, and I'm so thankful my dad said, hey, you got to talk to my friend Coach Julio Delgado. They went to high school together in Whitefish back in the day. Coach, we started the hour with you. We better end the hour with you as well here. You know, you talked off air about how tough it would be to be a teacher in today's environment. What would you tell those kids out there across Montana today? Anything you want to say here?
Well, every year I get asked to come into the Spanish class because I can still speak a little Spanish. And that's the one thing that I tried to dug into as a message to these high school kids is that they have to be aware of what's going on. And there's nothing wrong with patriotism. There's nothing wrong with loving your country and respecting the flag. There's really nothing wrong with this country. What we're seeing on an everyday basis is everything you hear about is America is bad. It's the greatest country in the world. It gives everybody an equal opportunity. If you want to work hard enough for something, all you have to do is be willing to work for it. And that's what I love about this country, and that's the message I tried to get out to these kids, that anything is possible.
We've only got about 30 seconds to go. Todd O'Hare asked a great question off air. Did you ever reconnect? Your parents sent you to America, like the Afghan families that put their babies over the fence. They didn't know if they'd ever see you again. A great family here in the Flathead brought you in. Did you ever see your parents again?
Yeah, they came 4 years later, and they came to my dad was our family did well in Cuba, and so he didn't have a college education. He played professionally baseball in Cuba and represented Cuba in the Pan American Games for 7 years. Very good athlete, but he didn't have any skills.
We got to get you on again because this has been so great to meet you. And, man, I know our listeners all across Montana definitely want to hear more from you. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.